Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Lima doesn't agree with me often. He wanted me to reiterate something I told you yesterday. And then I got to get to the Amari Cooper question. And today is Nick Chubb Day. Nick Chubb is coming back to practice today, so we got to get to a lot today. And we are getting ready for Good Guardians Baseball coming up here in a bit. Tone doesn't agree with me. He wanted me to say this. He wanted me to make sure everybody knows this because he goes, Ken, you got to say that again tomorrow. I says, okay. If Deshaun Watson continues to play like this, he ain't going anywhere. That might mean something for Stefanski, and you might say, gut! You might not like Stefanski anyway. I have no idea. There seems to be like there's a more growing sentiment about that because they're 1-3. You might hate hearing that because you don't like Deshaun Watson. A lot of people who listen to our show do not like Deshaun Watson, it seems. But we got to understand what the dollars and cents are, what the investment is, everything. Guys, I know if they don't play, if they don't win games, you're not going to be happy. I'm not happy. I'm not happy if they lose and he plays well. It doesn't make me thrilled whatsoever. It's not a personal thing. I just want the team to win football games. But if he continues to play like that and continues to have a good performance, he ain't going anywhere. They could be the Houston Browns. They could be the Houston Texans from 2020 and just turn them into the Houston Browns, which is, I mean, what did you say the over-under now, courtesy of Barstool, is? 5.5?
5.5, which
Holy Toledo.
Is now the worst in football.
Oh, my pots.
Now we're
pans.
The worst team in football? I mean, that's insane.
I mean, they finished 4-12 that year, and they did not have intentions on letting him go. They did not have intentions of that. So I'm telling you right now, if he goes and does that, we'll have discussions on somebody leaving. Ain't going to be him. Might be Kevin Stefanski. Might be Barry. Might be a lot of different people from this football team. It will not be him. So we have to understand that right now as we go along. There was a conversation to be had that if they were going to pick, because he was performing poorly, that if they were going to have to pick between the two, Stefanski wins. Barry wins. Not him. That somehow they would just eat that space. Now, I think we would be putting off the problems of what this team would be because we see this all the time. Well, we'll let the coach stay and then you get another year down the line and you let the coach go. I mean, we've seen this. But if they had to make a decision and he continues to play like that, he ain't going, Deshaun Watson ain't going anywhere. The other guy's going somewhere. Whether that's right or wrong or whether you agree with it, that's all up in the air. But that performance on Sunday says he's starting. We don't need to have these Jameis Winston conversations. Not yet. We don't need to have a conversation about what his buyout is or any of that other stuff. I'm telling you right now, and you could say, well, that's not a high enough bar. That's not a $230 million bar. I'm just telling you the realistic bar of what it is.
Well, boy, that's
216-474-0092. If you don't like hearing that, you disagree. Fine. Go right on ahead.
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
I'm just telling the truth.
I'd love to hear because I want to see the honesty in the room. And by the room, I mean Cleveland. I want to hear who's being honest about this. Not, hey, I chose my side and now I have to defend my side like it's a debate like we watched last night. Not that. And by the way, it's very civil
discourse. I watched baseball last night.
Me and
you
have gotten into bigger arguments than they got into last night.
Well, we like each other personally, so we're able to get by.
They seem like they might like each other last night. Anyway, that's very interesting because we, in this debate, we've chosen our side much like we did Baker, much like we've done over time. Like Hoyer and Manziel. We choose our side and then we act accordingly. I don't want that right now. I want to hear from fans. Maybe even you'd be more persuasive if you said, hey, I chose my side. I want Watson the hell out of here. But I'll admit he played well. He played well enough. The 230...
Wait, you want him out of here and you...
No. Oh, what I'm saying
okay,
is...
Okay, I'm sorry.
You'd be more persuasive if you told me you were believing one thing on this overall, but then you saw Sunday and you'll at least admit that he played well enough. Because I'm seeing a lot of people nationally say, hey, Watson played well. His PFF grade was actually outstanding.
Was it 86 or something?
But his EPA grades have been terrible. This is very interesting how there's been a diversion in grades when it comes to that.
Yeah.
You said the $230 million thing, and I'm like,
I'm not going to do that
every week. Like, yes, we can all agree he's been nowhere near worth the money and the trade. But on a week-to-week basis, we can just compare him to the rest of the quarterbacks in the league. Is that fair? Just for the sake, we can do two different things, I guess. But week-to-week, I'm not gonna say 230, 230, 230. I got to just compare him right now to where we are as a football team and where the other teams are.
And he's never going to be worth that money. I can admit that. But he's not going to be replacement.
Could he be if he plays that the way he did Sunday and he plays that way the rest of the year and actually wins the games and actually And actually has a fruitful final drive. And
if they win the game, then yeah. But I don't know if they can win the game. I brought it up. He continued to do his best to move the ball forward. He was able to comport himself very well. And I still was losing my faith in what chances they had because I feel that the scripted plays, and they'll probably go down the field and they'll probably score, get a touchdown to 3 points coming up this Sunday. It's not going to make me feel any better, and it shouldn't make anybody feel any better because you're just giving the defense what they want. The Raiders, they got a chance to see you on first down, second down, third and long, and goal line, or and red zone during that entire first drive. And by the way, that drive was 15 plays. What's the usual game script on your plays? 15 plays. You did it in 15 plays. The Raiders saw everything they needed to. They're not that good of a team, but if you play a good team, they'll see everything they need to. And if you can't make the adjustments, which you might not have the horses to, they're going to blast you. They'll just blast you. But considering all that, you could if they win the games, then maybe he comes close to being worth that money. If they don't win the games, people aren't going to be happy, and they're going to be even more unhappy because he ain't going anywhere. So if you want him out of town, they got to lose the games, and he's got to look bad. He didn't look bad. Look good. That's the truth of everything. Jim and Perry, you're first up in the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey. Hi.
So, all right. I keep hearing that Deshaun Watson played good. Like, oh, he did well. He did good. He had a QBR of 39. Is this what we have come to with this guy, that he played okay and we're so excited and you just said the Raiders are a bad
team? Did you watch the game?
I was dipping in and out.
Okay, so you just looked at the box score afterwards.
No, I didn't look at the box score. The stuff that I saw the sack. But this goes beyond the Raiders game. Kevin Stefanski has been successful with every other quarterback since his tenure here. Other than Deshaun Watson, we moved the whole offense for Deshaun Watson. And okay. Yet, but he played well against the Raiders.
He did.
And Ken.
He did.
Like, that's not good enough.
He played well.
I would fire Andrew Berry and I would get rid of that dude before I even get close to firing Kevin Stefanski. Like I said earlier this year, I would love to see what Kevin Stefanski can do without drama in Berea. Drama that includes their quarterback and all of his stuff going on. Drama that includes Amari Cooper. Drama that now includes Elijah Moore, Michael Hall, everything. The dude has never had a fair shake. Everybody comes out, especially in the media, you know, oh, we got to give Deshaun time. Deshaun's had enough time. Let me tell you something. He does not care. I'm not a body language expert, but if you go and watch him,
but Jim, you're the same guy who's called in and literally said you hated him and you wanted him to fail. You've said that on the air with us.
Of course.
So you understand there's a bias. No, not every Browns fan. Not every Browns fan that we talk to. We talk to many, many, many Browns fans. It's impossible that we talk to every Browns fan and they all hate him. That's an impossibility. It's impossible.
Raiders team. We lost to a mediocre Raiders team, but he played well.
He did.
And you're saying since he played well, and if he continues to play well like that with a 39 QBR, then that means you want Kevin Stefanski gone?
No.
Because if that's
I don't want Kevin Stefanski gone. No.
If they
I'm not saying that. No. At no point did I tell you that I would fire Kevin Stefanski and keep Deshaun Watson. I'm telling you the truth of the matter. He did not play poorly. He played well. They lost the game. And yes, somebody will probably go if they continue to lose games, and it won't be him.
You know, I'm telling you what, if that happens, can you really imagine what your day is going to be like the next day that happens?
Probably very bad, but I've had a series of bad days here recently after Browns games, so it just kind of blends in with the other ones now, doesn't it?
Well, of course, but, okay. But here's the thing, Ken. How come?
What?
Why can't we hold Deshaun accountable?
Because of the guarantee that's left on the contract. Because of the, like, if we get 2 years down the line, I mean, Jim, and thank you for the call, Jim. I don't want to get personal with you. The truth is the truth.
Well, I don't get the accountable thing.
You get 2 years down the line, then it's like, well, you have to play better than this if you want an extension. That's where that would come into. This is passable to keep him so you don't have to sit there and eat the biggest dead cap space in NFL history. Now, if he goes out there and he plays poorly on Sunday, we'll reevaluate on Sunday.
What would it look like?
That's what it's going to turn into, is a referendum after every one of these games.
Sure, but the holding him accountable, like, my God, we've crushed the Deshaun Watson experience to this point. What would it look like? What would it look like on Monday to hold Deshaun Watson accountable?
He wants him benched. That's what he would want. That would be the accountability. I'm imagining that's what he would want. Yes.
And you're benching Watson that early. Do you understand the consequences of something like that?
I understand the consequences. Certainly.
I mean, you do know there are people in the locker room that are firmly on the side of Deshaun Watson as their quarterback.
Well, like, they know that he would still give them the best chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, does anybody
think Jameis is not Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is not Jameis. Yeah. I can't just sit there and recreate the magic.
The people know, like, Jameis Winston didn't have starting offers ready to go. Like, they there weren't a bunch of teams that were clamoring to have Jameis Winston be their starting quarterback this year, right?
Yeah. I'm not predicting that he's going to perform this way for the rest of the season. I don't know. What I do know is that if he performs like he did on Sunday, you can hate the message all you want. I'm telling you the truth. He's going nowhere. The cap is too much of a problem for them to move on from him. So he's not going anywhere. If we get 2 years down the line and the cap is easier to absorb, then yeah, certainly that, then we can have that conversation. But that's for a couple years down the line. He has to play like he played against Dallas for that to actually happen. Gardo's post game coming up Saturday after the Gardo's game against the, well, we'll find out. Either the Detroit Tigers or the Houston Astros. Tigers have a one-up lead in that series. They play today, and our very own Mitch Spinell will be one of the co-hosts. There'll be him and Jake Volnick on the postgame show Saturday afternoon after the Guardians take on whoever in ALDS game number one. You want to put Mitch on the spot real quick?
Yeah, I'd put him on the spot. I love this. Right now, Mitch, because we want to establish your credibility on the station. Because everything you've done to this point has eroded a lot of that with your hat wearing and whatnot. But in this case,
I will get into that later.
Mitch does know his baseball, and he watches a lot of baseball. And yesterday was a full day of baseball watching. So who better than to ask the question, you heard us mulling it over earlier in the show, what do the Guardians do for game three?
Well, as far as what their pitching rotation goes, I'm not against the idea of Alex Cobb going game three despite his limited outing on his simulation game Monday. But I really need, if Gavin Williams is going to be your bulk reliever like Mandy Bell suggested yesterday on Afternoon Drive, then I need him to go to like some sort of 2016 Andrew Miller form, not just for this game, but for the rest of the postseason. That'd be such a big help for a Guardians bullpen that has worked a lot this season already and has been fantastic. But I don't want them to get overworked this October.
Now, they do have the buffers. We talked about the buffer.
Their family had a lot of buffers.
A lot of buffer. Like, they have the days off, and that is key in what I think everything, how they are going to handle the bullpen, how they're going to handle those games. I do wonder, those first two games, man, especially game one, I cannot wait to see how Vogt uses that bullpen. Is it Terry Francona-esque from 2016? Is he prepared to do what is necessary?
Where he ends Andrew Miller's career before our very own eyes, and we just don't know it yet.
But man, it was a wild ride. It was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun going down. I don't regret a moment of it. 216-474-0092. So I'm getting a lot of people who are actually agreeing with me. Because I said that if he continues to play, Deshaun Watson continues to play the way he did on Sunday, he's not going anywhere. I had people on Monday, and I think they were mad, saying that if the Browns want to save their season, they have to start Jameis Winston, and I thought that that was an emotional reaction and not true. If they still feel that way, fine. But I think there are some people out there that have a problem with accepting what I consider to be the truth. He has to play much better to get them to where they need to go. It could be a very well be a situation of Houston where they are a 4-12 football team, but he plays well. And that season he played exceedingly well. And then you go, what do we do with the coach? Because that would be a conversation they have. Then what do we do with all these other players? How do we amass picks and then maybe possibly, because of the contract, build around him? Well, he'd have to play much better to have that conversation. Or if he continues to play like this, you just can't replace him because of the money. Not the money you pay him. The money you pay him is whatever. It's the dead cap that works against you. So you have to continue to do this. We would get to a level where if he were to continue to play like this in 2026, where you'd go, all right, enough's going to be enough here. We're moving on. We're finding a first-round quarterback, and we're going to move on from this. But if he continued to do what he did on Sunday, which was not his fault about drop passes, not his fault about offensive line. Again, where have we said that before? Maybe during the 2021 season, but that's a different conversation for a different day. If he continues to play that way, then he ain't going anywhere.
Hold on. We can admit, right, the play that ends up getting flagged that we've discussed a ton, you know, since, that was vintage Watson. You don't hear me say vintage Watson very often. That was him with an offensive line breaking down, having to keep a play alive, a big-time second-down throw. He steps up into the
damn
pocket.
It, I'll say it. I'll say it with you.
Amari Cooper was there. He spotted him, and he put the throw on the money. It's a touchdown. Like, that was the guy you did trade for. That when things break down,
hold my hand.
He can make an amazing play.
I'll say it with you. It was 2020 Watson, that play.
Okay. And that's,
mark that down.
And I shouldn't say they don't want to hear it. I would hope you'd want to hear it because that's the only way out of this. The way out of this is him being vintage Watson. That's the way out of this. This is what we were all hoping for, was it not?
The way out of this to keep players that you love on this football team, and you know who I'm talking about, is through, not backwards and getting them out of there.
Do you think Myles Garrett wants to play on a team that is in rebuild and fires the coach and the GM? You think he wants to stick around for that?
Do you think the rebuild wants to keep him here, or do they want to liquidate the asset?
It's a great point. We know how the NFL works.
Tony in Mansfield, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Morning, Tony. We're doing okay. Go right on ahead.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, and you know, for the past couple of years and even for the first couple of weeks this year, I was just dead set on just done with Watson, right? But Ken, you said it. I mean, I have to completely disagree with the last caller as well, because if you look at the team as a whole, we've talked about everything that does matter. You know, our defense taking a step back, all three phases, linebackers washing themselves out, secondary not playing good, the front not being able to stop the run. You know, they're getting older, right? We talked that we're one of the oldest teams in the NFL now. And often, same situation. You know, there's big talk about how, oh, you know, Kevin Stefanski can make any quarterback better. But if we really look at not just the scheme of the coach, but really the players that we had, especially our offensive line. Our offensive line is done, and obviously we know we've all talked.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, about how we're missing our offensive line coach, right, and the way that he worked with our run fits. The thing is last week Deshaun looked like Deshaun, just his aura, his energy, the way that he kind of commanded himself and the team. Now, I'm not saying he was perfect or, you know, great, but he was looking like vintage Deshaun Watson. But what scares me, and like you said, you know, we're going to keep Deshaun over Stefanski, right? It's not even that. It's, you know, where are we going to find another quarterback Deshaun's age and with his skill set and his athletic ability? We're not going to find that in the draft right now with where we sit. What are we going to do? We're going to sign a 38-year-old veteran to come in again on a 1-2-year contract? No. And plus the cap space that we have on Deshaun, we're going to be keeping him. What worries me is that our team, the window's closing, and I think we've kind of overvalued our roster.
Well, yes. And also what frankly scares me, Tony, and I think what should scare everybody else, I said if he plays this well, he ain't going anywhere. I didn't say that was good enough to be a very competitive team. They still lost the game. So I think that what scares me the most is that if he does actually continue to play this way, I can't argue, and Tony, thank you for the call, I can't argue to get rid of him right now or at the end of the year. I can't argue that I would want to keep the coach, but you know, we'll maybe I'll feel differently by the end of the season. I can't argue to get rid of him, and I also know that he's not bad enough to replace, and I just know he's not good enough to be a real serious competitive quarterback on a competitive team. So then we're stuck. So it's like, if you're going to lose games, well, then he has to play poorly so you can force the liquidation, and then you can begin the rebuild. If he plays exceedingly well, then we're going to win games. Hopefully we'll win games and they won't get in the way. And then we could continue to actually get some return on this massive investment, not just on what the Browns have paid. Forget that. I'm talking about your emotions, your patience, your feelings, everything. That's the investment the fans make. Your time, the most important one of them, your time of the investment, that's the biggest thing for us.
Well, that's what I wonder. How hard is it going to be for Deshaun Watson to earn the trust of Browns fans, to get them back on his side? It's not just going to be one game that you lost and only threw for 175 yards. We know that. We had a guy that barely watched the game and called in to talk about his pedestrian numbers. Yeah, he didn't watch the game. So, you know.
Said he saw the sack.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that that's a Browns fan. He's listening to a sports talk radio show. He's sitting here on a Wednesday taking the time to call. He's been so turned off by the whole experience that he's barely watching the games. There are a lot more people out there than I think you realize. What is it going to take for Watson to earn those guys back?
It's going to take good play, and they're going to win that game. If he wins that, if they win that game, say he tosses one into the end zone, and Amari Cooper, Blake Whitehart, who sounds like a WWE jobber, say Blake Whitehart comes down with the ball. What happens? They win that football game. What are we talking about with Deshaun Watson? How are we feeling about the entire experience? Like, there'd definitely be some people on the pushback, but hey, you're 2-2. You're back to 500. I mean, right now, we're struggling to find a pulse. Back to the phones. James in East Cleveland, you're next up on the fan.
What's up, fellas? Good morning.
Morning, James.
Too much to touch on this morning. Okay, the debate about how Deshaun Watson played, I don't think he played well. Y'all arguing about the stats and the eye test. But you know, the best way to to expose a dirty glass is to put a clean glass next to it. And that clean glass came in the form of Joe Flacco last year when he stepped in and threw for 400. Now, the guy threw for 175, a touchdown and a pick. To me, I thought he played poor. Also, people talking about the defense taking a step back. It ties to that. I don't think the defense is motivated out there to get this guy the ball back. You think Myles Garrett, J.O.K. and those guys want to go out and make hits and make this play on fourth down and turn it over to a quarterback that you know won't get the ball down the field, that won't score? It's a mental thing about it, man. The best hope for the Browns is for Deshaun Watson to step up his game and start playing well. Cap inclusion, the GM, everybody's job is at risk. That is the best case scenario. But right now, this guy ain't got it.
So if he plays that way, you would make a full-throated endorsement of replacing him and putting in Jameis Winston.
Well, I think it's a fluid situation. I think a lot of people want it to be black and white, but it's not. It's possible to go to Jameson in the spot, play him a little bit. I want to see the other guy. Like I said about the clean glass and the dirty glass. And we talk about is the offensive lineman that's playing so porous, it's really hard to get a good read. But would Jameis get the ball out quicker? Would he make the reads faster? Who knows? The only way to see. So you can pull it back. You can not yo-yo the quarterback. The guy's getting paid $230 million. You got to sit on the bench for a game or watch him play. Watch him play, man.
Well, I'll tell you this, James. Like, I'm not gonna bench him. But what I totally agree with you on, and thank you for the call, is that Joe did show you that the coach, we just throw coaches to the side and say, well, it's a quarterback's team and that's it. I mean, hell, we're about to do that in Jacksonville with Doug Peterson. And maybe that's the right thing. What Joe Flacco did was to show you that the coach can really do it. And it gives the coach an argument. Now, there are definitely steadfast people who hate the coach for whatever reason, and they seem to call in and tweet us. But the majority of people are like, hey, he can do a good job with a quarterback who can work his system. Why can't this quarterback work the system? It's been one game. if it becomes 2 and 3 and 4, I do think you're going to win. I do think you're going to win a few of those games. And then it just becomes a system of, all right, where are my other problems at? Is my defense failing me? Is my offensive line failing me? What's failing me here? What is the problem with this football team? Because it wouldn't be the quarterback. Then I have to figure out where to build it there. So now I just have the great big dike, and I'm trying to figure out where to put my fingers in to stop the leaks. But the problem is that if the quarterback's terrible, well, we're just going to get flooded. 216-474-0092. Nick in Nate in Ashtabula. You're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
So,
go ahead.
I just wanted to touch up on a few things. I'm optimistic on this Browns team, and I'll admit, I was one of the people who felt very like, I don't want to watch this team until they improve anymore when we lost to the Raiders. But I've sat and reflected and figured there is some good to come take away from this. Since we played in Dallas, Deshaun has been looking better each game. Can he get a complete drive in is my thing. And the one thing I really wanted to see him do that he just can't seem to get through his head, and no offense to him, is he doesn't know when to throw the ball away, which is why he got sacked 8 times against the Giants.
Oh, I don't know if that's ever, and Nate, thank you for the call. I don't know if that's ever going to change. The sack thing, I don't know if that's ever going to do it, because that's what he got drafted for. That's what you traded him for, is that he could extend plays. And sometimes he's going to get brought down. I go back to the last play. It's not even the Giants stuff. I go back to the last play last week against Las Vegas. He kind of did what he does. I wish he would have got rid of the ball. I wish he would have given somebody a chance. Like, and yeah, if he would have thrown a pick, his QBR would have been even worse. And I'm sure people would have beat up on him. And I'm sure we would have had these great big fights. Maybe I would have gotten all emotional about it. But I can't sit there and argue about that. I want a chance to win. And he did not give them, at that moment, the best chance to win. He gives them a chance to win in that spot. Don't get me wrong. The drive, they were able to get down the field. But you got to give him the best chance to win, and the best chance to win was just getting rid of the football and see if anybody can make a play.
That was the hard part, because you're not
dealing with people send us the freeze frame. I don't want to see the freeze frame. We've been down that road a million times.
It's just we're not talking about a rookie. We are talking about a vet. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've wondered where Watson's confidence has been. At times during that game, I thought it was the highest it's been as a Cleveland Brown.
Which again, there was another guy who we had who would take the sack. And there was one time against Kansas City where he actually did get rid of the football. And then he got picked off. And then I had to make an argument for that guy. Same thing, man. The characters just changed.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Denny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Well, I've seen it in movies. It's often been a huge premise for a hilarious sitcom. An affliction that I'm so grateful I haven't had to deal with. And Owen has been dealing with it for the better part of the last 3 days. So I wanted to get an update. And if there's anything that anybody can say or do to help Owen, he'd appreciate it in his time of need. How are the kidney stones doing, Owen?
They suck. Gosh. They're not funny. It's not a sitcom. I, like you, I've only known about it from sitcoms, and my uncle, who I've not lived around in 20 years, had them. And so I would get updates from my mom on him. That's the only ones that I ever know about. And not funny, still floating around in my body, needed to go away.
So you went to the ER on Sunday?
On Sunday. I watched the Steelers game, Steelers-Colts in the ER, and then the first half of the Browns game. In the ER as well.
The ER has now become the best sports bar in town.
Well, and it's great. They're happy hours.
This is giving me the heebie-jeebies. Like,
they gave me some stuff that made me feel pretty good.
Oh, my God. So, did you think you were having a heart attack?
No, I thought I was having... So, I have back problems. That's the whole reason that I got out of the military. And I thought I was having, like, a knot in my back that was, you know, pulling a muscle or whatever. And then the pain got worse, and I was screaming in pain on the floor. And my wife's like, oh, you're not faking it like you normally do on a Sunday to get out of doing work, especially when there's a game coming up soon. And so we went to the ER, and now I am still dealing with the remnants of kidney stone that has not not made its way out of my body yet.
The best is what you told me that they gave you to deal with it, and it didn't seem like it was helpful at all and would just make a mess.
Yeah, and it does, and I stopped using it.
They gave you a funnel?
Yeah.
What is that supposed to do?
Well, so when it evacuates my body, I can hold on to it for sentimental
reasons. Remnants?
I don't know if we're sending it in for research.
You put it up there with your...
Why do they give you a funnel to hold on to
with all your metals?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I put it in that same box that my mom has with my baby teeth.
Are you carrying the funnel with you right now?
No, I refuse to bring it in.
Oh, come on. I wanted to see it.
I don't think you do.
All right,
the funnel
hold on.
Is not made in a... Yesterday, I
gotta look at this.
Funnel time's done.
Oh, so no more funnel?
I'm not doing it.
Well, don't they need it for research?
Well, they can research something else because I'm not doing it
anymore. I'm looking at a kidney stone funnel right now. This looks like a fun contraption. It looks like a light fixture. That's what it looks like. So it's still at the home?
It is.
And so they basically tell you...
Prominently displayed in my bathroom.
Oh, gosh.
There is no cure for this. It's just let the body do its normal thing.
I talked to someone else within the family of Odyssey here that is dealing with something similar, and they said they're still kicking around with it.
Oh, no.
I believe I talked to someone else who, when we were over at Andy's get-together, who said about 2 hours after they left, it left them and was not a pleasant experience. So now the stress of it, of knowing that this is coming at some point.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you have a timetable? Or did they equip you with anything?
So I know that it's still there. I can feel the pressure right now, as we said.
God.
Oh, my God.
So there's no enjoyment.
Oh, this is gross.
There's no enjoyment right now when you when you go into those rooms.
No.
Keith and Ash DeBula, you're first up on the fan. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to provide a little bit of insight. I've had kidney stones 3 separate times. So the reason they want you to collect it is there's a variety of factors that can cause them. So if you collect it and bring it to your urologist, they can tell you, I mean, sometimes they just form naturally, but sometimes there's things you can change in your diet. Like, I used to drink sweet tea like it was going out of style.
Yeah, mine's probably the Cheetos and Rippets that I have every morning for breakfast. But
well, you have Rippets for sentimental reasons.
That's right. They might be over.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, Keith, thank you very much for the call. And I hope that, gosh, this is just, I feel so bad for you guys. Jeff on the road, you're next up on the fan. Yellow.
Hey, don't get rid of the funnel. It's more than just the testing part of it, too. They got to prove that you actually passed it, because then if it's still up in there, there could be other problems. So that's why you collect it in the first place.
You got to keep the funnel.
You got to keep it.
Well,
so
I know
that
it's
you can
still
actually
there,
prove
Jeff.
That you
it's pressuring
it.
Me right now.
It's like you're panning for gold.
Yeah, but there's really small. You'll be surprised at how small it actually is when it comes out, because I had one, too, a couple years ago. But you gotta do that so that you can prove that you actually passed it too. So that if there's like really small remnants that
what
you don't
about,
have other health issues.
Well, at what point does manual extraction become the way to go?
Let's
here?
Not go down that road. Let's not go down that road.
Yeah,
it's making me queasy. Do,
that's not any good. No good.
Sick
no.
to my stomach.
Thank
right
you.
Now.
Thank you for the culture.
I was told also by someone you can get an ultrasound and apparently they can blow it up or whatever, but they said it was only 4 millimeters.
We could do a gender reveal, too, while we're at it.
Oh, gosh. Nice. So it's how big's 4 millimeters? Like that
I don't
big?
Know what Chester name Cheeto's it? Gender is, but that's who's in
oh,
there
yeah,
right
you got
to
name it. Yeah, yeah.
So that's what causes it? That's what causes it?
I have no clue. That's just the amount of sodium I've been taking in. And guess where I'm going in about 14 minutes?
To the bathroom?
To get some of them Cheetos.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We may never see him again.
And then I might go prospecting.
Oh, gosh. 216. No more calls on this. No more. We're done. Back to the Deshaun Watson calls. Which one would you rather talk about? Oh, gosh. Fine. Everett in Cleveland. Hello, Everett.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks
Hi,
for
Everett.
Switching the subject.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, about the rebuilding Deshaun.
Yeah.
I want everybody to get Flacco out of their mind. He's not coming back. If he was that good, he would be starting where he was. His numbers was okay yet last week, but let's just get Flacco out of our mind. When it comes to Deshaun,
let me tell you
Watson,
this though. I don't mean to just jerk the wheel here, but is it that we know he's good and he's not good enough to be a starter full time anymore, and that there's maybe other teams who are like, yeah, I don't need people chanting his name in my end zone either.
No, it's just that he's had his time, and we kind of know what it is with Flacco. If you put him on this team right now, he wouldn't last a full season. That line is – luckily, Deshaun can run around because that line is letting the blitz come through with no
Boy,
defense at all.
That's Deshaun, salient.
Okay. Not even the blitz. It's the stunts.
That's salient. Yeah, that's yeah. Okay.
Now, with Deshaun, I've watched him for the last 3 weeks do what he do. At the end of the games, third, fourth quarter, he's taking over the game. But when you got so many drops and so many penalties killing drives, even Patrick Mahomes he has because he has the top 10 defense. Our defense ain't stopping nobody either. So as good as Deshaun can play, and I know some people are just going to say, hey, is Deshaun Swatty the quarterback? He's playing better than Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is giving turnovers left and right, and they're 2-2.
He's been rough.
But his receivers are – he has a run game, and his receivers are making catches. Well, now, what I want to say about that last thing before I go – that last play that everybody is freeze framing. My thing is, if Amari is a true number one and we only needed 3 yards, why is he running a full route? Why didn't he already know the blitz was
coming?
Some
people brought that into question.
Oh, boy. Everett, thank you very much
for the call.
Amari
Cooper approval rating has gone from the guy I think people love the most outside of Miles and Chubb, maybe Betonio, but man, Amari, people loved. It has gone south. I mean, we're questioning whether a veteran in the NFL a long time is even running the right routes. He's dropping big passes. He lashed out at the media last week. People love that, actually.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.